Welcome to English for International Students, Episode 7. In this episode, you will hear an interview with Dr. William Land of Texas Tech University in the Educational Psychology Department. Dr. Land talks about techniques that instructors can use to affect the motivation of the students in their classroom. We hope you guys enjoy. Okay, this is Lindley, and I am sitting with Dr. William Land. Am I saying your last name right?
Yes.
Close enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay, good deal. And we have the pleasure of hearing from him today about motivation and education. And the reason that I wanted to sit down with him is because I took his class, I guess it was probably about a year and a half ago, as a graduate student. And so I thought he would have some really interesting things to share with our listeners. So will you start out by just explaining a little bit about what motivation and education is, and maybe even your specific interest in research? And
okay. Motivation actually is our internal need, which initiate our action and sustain our action until we accomplish our goal. Usually motivation is always goal-oriented. We usually have a goal in our mind and that we want to accomplish it. And motivation is the driving force of our learning activities. And motivation as the very important concept or the variable in the learning process, because motivation determines or affects our initiatives, our efforts, our persistence, our strategy that we use, and eventually our performance in the task.
Okay.
So almost comprehensively, all aspects of a learning process are affected by motivation.
Okay, very interesting. So it seems like all of those features would be unique to an individual. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you could have a classroom full of students and all of them would have different sets of...
Or people bring the different kind of motivation in the classroom.
Okay.
That's why they perform differently.
Okay. So what is your advice then to a teacher who wants to basically work with all of these students that have this wide variety of motivations? What's the best strategy for assisting that variety of students?
Okay. There's so many different theories about motivation, but generally speaking, I think there all the variables that affect our motivation can be divided into two parts. One is what we call the expectation, which is how likely do you think you have a chance to do the task successfully, right? And another one is the value, that this success in the task mean anything to you. You know, when we're talking about motivation, it is a product of the two.
Okay.
If you don't think you will succeed, no matter how much you value, you will not have a motivation.
Okay.
On the other end, if you think you have a perfect chance to succeed in the task, but the success means nothing to you, you will not have a motivation. So for us as a teacher or the instructors, to motivate our students, we should focus on these two things. One is to increase a student's perception about their chance to be successful in the task. Another one is to emphasize the importance, the interesting, the usefulness, and this kind of a value will add to the success of a motivation. So if we pay attention to the two things, these two things, then very likely you will increase your student's motivation.
Okay, interesting. So then maybe a follow-up question to that is, it seems likely that if every individual in a classroom kind of has a different set of driving forces, that the kind of things that they would find valuable would be different.
Oh, definitely.
So maybe it seems like one student might say, look, all I want to do in this class is pass the test. Or another student says, I hope you're not just teaching to the test. I really need these skills for the real world. I want to use these skills at work. So how do you balance that as an instructor?
Yeah, you know, the traditional teaching method, which is a one teacher facing the whole class with a variety of the individuals in the classroom, this kind of individualized instruction is always difficult. So the only thing we can do is pay attention to the majority of the class, and the students in the two extremes are very much intrinsically motivated, always want to learn more, and the students are motivated at all, then we have to pay special attention to them. But you have to focus on the majority of the students in the classroom. Try to make your the course not only interesting, that is a lot of the time we suggest the teacher to do, but also meaningful. Make the information meaningful is the, I think, most powerful motivation force for our students. Present the information in a meaningful way. Then students, when they receive the information, they, oh, that makes sense to me. That is the motivation they want to learn more. So pay attention to the majority of a class and pay attention to the two kinds of a variable. One is to improve their expectation for success, to increase the values of the task.
Interesting. Okay, that's very good advice. And I think that was good advice about focusing on just the majority of the class. There's only so much you can do.
Exactly.
And I also think there's an interesting layer here. And this is something that I have been observing as a teacher myself. And that is that it's sometimes not enough for me to make the task meaningful and to increase students' expectations about their ability to be successful, but I have to make sure that they understand why it's meaningful. So, so a lot of times I design tasks and I think, okay, this will be excellent preparation for your use of English as a teaching assistant, which is mostly what I'm doing. Or I think this will really help you pass this test, because in my mind, I know it's developing the same skill, but to my students, if it doesn't have very obvious face validity, they don't automatically understand why this is useful, then it's very helpful if I will make sure that that's explicit why I think this will be meaningful to them.
You know, I don't think we should equalize the meaningfulness to relevancy. The things can be relevant, but people cannot see direct application of the knowledge in a situation, or they cannot see the meaning behind the information. So the information can be meaningful without much of application, at least to right now. Students cannot see the application. But if you present the information in a meaningful way, this is always possible, because in psychology, we define the meaningful learning as students can make the connection between the new information with the information they already have.
Okay.
You know, as a teacher, what we have to do is identify what the students already know. And then find the connection between the information, the new information you want to present, and help students make a connection between the two. You know, when you can make the connection between the new information with the existing information, the new information becomes meaningful. So it has nothing to do with
relevancy.
Relevancy or application of the information.
So let me ask you this. Could you give an example of maybe how someone might do that, how they might make information meaningful and also connect it to existing knowledge, let's say for undergraduate students, because most of my students are graduate students who will teach undergraduate students. So a lot of people who listen to the podcast, they want to be TAs in their own department. So can you give any example of how they might do that?
Very, very simple example from the psychology background will be, for example, up to now, I graduated from University of Iowa for 25 years, right? I still remember the phone number I used then. Why? Because when I use the phone number, it's 1945.
Okay.
And if I just try to remember 1945, it would be a meaningless information. Right. But at that time, I thought, oh, that's the end of World War II.
Okay.
You know, you make the new information connect with the information already in your long-term memory. So for so many years, even I never used the information one more time, I still remember that piece of information because I make a connection. So what we do is you have to present the information that can be connected with the student's existing information. There's a very good example, but I don't know if we have a time. You know, I watched the videotape of a teacher teaching the sum of the internal angles of paragon, right? And he gave the class a formula and the students practiced for 50 minutes just use the different kind of a different type of polygon,
okay.
and use the again and again and again. It seemed that the students already mastered the formula very well,
uh-huh.
right? So when I taught the course, I say, how many of you, I ask my students, how many of you still remember that formula? And they say, Dr. Lin, are you kidding? That was in my junior high. That was 20 years ago, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
How can I remember that? So I say, okay, I give you the formula, and I tell you how we develop this formula. For any polygon, we can, from any point, we can divide this polygon to a number of the triangles. Do you know the sum of the internal angles of the triangle? They say, yeah, 180. Everybody see, remember that. I say, how many triangles can you develop a polygon into? From the point, there's a two external
yes.
sides
mm-hmm.
that cannot form a triangle for you. So the number of the triangle is always the number of the sides minus two.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, so if you have paragon, then you say five sides minus two,
yeah.
that means I will develop three triangles. And every triangle, I have 180 degree. So the sum of the internal angle for paragon will be 180 times 3, which is 540,
yeah.
right? I say, if you remember this, then you will never forget this formula. We talked about this at the beginning of the semester. By the end of a semester, I just say, how many of you still remember the formula? Everybody give me the correct formula, n minus 2 times 180.
Okay, yeah, that's a great example.
Yeah, so you can see meaningful learning is such a powerful tool for our teaching, and that when you teach the information meaningful, you appeal to students' curiosity.
Yeah.
And curiosity is a part of our instinct. We are always curious about our environment. We want to master our environment.
Yes.
So if you can appeal to your students' curiosity, your students will be motivated.
Okay, that's a great example. And one thing I really like about it is I'm thinking about everything you're saying or trying to think about it from the perspective of an international student. So I'm thinking about how challenging it can be sometimes to teach a group of students who maybe have a completely different background than you have.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's hard to know what do they already know, what matters to them. Those kind of things can be difficult. But I think that example you gave is a great example of how it's meaningful in the sense that you're just letting people understand how something
works.
Yeah. So that's not specific to any cultural knowledge, anything like that. It's just, that's great.
Memorization, sometimes we use it as a method of learning,
mm-hmm.
but obviously memorization is not the most efficient way to learn the new information. Meaningful learning is.
Yeah.
So I see meaningful learning is not only have a cognitive benefits, but also motivational benefit.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of our students that come in and eventually become TAs, they say, well, in my home country, this is how things worked. Basically, the teacher got up in front of the class.
Mm-hmm.
They presented a lot of information, and it was our responsibility
mm-hmm.
to memorize everything that they said and to make sense of it if
yeah.
it didn't make sense to us. And so sometimes when they become teachers, they find that first of all, that does not fit the expectations of U.S. undergraduate students. And oftentimes, those students respond very poorly to that style of instruction. So what is some advice you would give to someone who has maybe never seen this modeled for them?
I think that you have to change your perspective about your own role in the classroom.
Okay.
Don't take yourself too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that you are the person with the authority in the classroom. You are source of knowledge. Everybody
mm-hmm.
just transfer the information from your
mm-hmm.
hand to the students. No. The current educational theory is based on the construction theory, which
mm-hmm.
is you don't transmit the information from one end or one source to the recipients.
Mm-hmm.
You construct the knowledge together.
Yeah.
If you change your view of your own role in the classroom, you are more willing to open the classroom for your students. So
yes.
you can construct the knowledge together, not only you and the students, but also among the students.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, for the international students teaching in the American university, it is a challenge because this is a totally new perspective mm-hmm. about teaching and learning. We never experienced this in the Chinese schools.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to change this because this is a different culture.
Yeah.
But when you try this, you will be very much rewarded because you will find that not only students learn much better, you learn so much from your students
mm-hmm.
too. You know, they bring their personal experience in the classroom
yeah.
and they give you tons of examples you can use for your future teaching. So I just
yeah.
think that, you know, as the person who trained in a very authoritarian way
mm-hmm.
and now try to teach in an authoritative method,
yes.
you have to change your view of teaching.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to put it. And one thing that's really cool about that is that it alleviates a lot of pressure on you, because I think a lot of people feel like I have to know everything about this topic. But I hear also TAs say, I feel like I don't have good classroom presence. I'm not very confident. So they're dealing with a lot of basically fighting for students' respect, but they're also trying to balance that with being relational with their students. So when your role shifts in the classroom, it seems like a lot of your hardest work goes into developing, you know, how you want to present this material and how you can devise a classroom setting where you're building that knowledge together. And then all of these other personal issues, they don't go away, but I think
mm-hmm.
they would become less important.
Yeah, I still believe that preparation for a class is a very important thing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to go into the classroom without a preparation. You know,
mm-hmm.
you should be well prepared for your class. So you're supposed to know more than your students. That's
right.
still true.
Yeah.
Because you are
you
there
can't help
to help
them build.
Them. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know. But at the same time, if you don't see yourself as the top of a class or the authority of the class, you will find that your students will be very forgiving. If you say,
yeah.
oh, that's a good question, because you open yourself to all possible questions, you may not have answer to every question the students may have.
Yeah.
So sooner or later, you have to admit that that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how to answer right now, but I will find it and get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot use this excuse too much or too often in the classroom. Right?
Without losing their respect, yeah.
Exactly. You yeah. still have to show your students your knowledge about the subject you are teaching and you are well prepared. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, well, I guess just one final question that I would
yeah.
ask you is, and I'll just leave it very broad. Is there
okay.
any general advice that you would give to an international student who has just arrived to the U.S. and they've received their first teaching assignment? What would you advise them to do or to be aware of?
I think you have to take your assignment very seriously.
Okay.
Yeah. You spend a lot of time to prepare your instructional plan.
Mm-hmm.
If necessary, you need to rehearse at least once or twice.
Okay.
You know, find out your good friends, find your classmates,
mm-hmm.
and they say, okay, pretend you are my student. Let me present my course to you,
mm-hmm.
and you can criticize me. You know, if there anything that you don't think I made sense, let me
mm-hmm.
know. You know, sometimes teachers or the instructors, we know the materials too well.
Mm-hmm.
We miss the perspective to look at the material from the student's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
We think it's very obviously from point A to point B, but the students are confused.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to rehearse this once or twice
yeah.
with your friends in a very open climate.
Uh-huh.
Listen to them to improve your teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I think with a once or twice of the successful experience in the classroom, you establish your confidence. That is a major thing you need to perform well in the classroom. You have confidence on your own teaching.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time you say, I know the stuff, but I may not present it in the way my students can see,
mm-hmm.
You know, I know the stuff, right?
Yes.
So this is a part of that as a new teacher or new instructor, we have to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's great advice.
Mm-hmm.
I'll ask just one follow-up question to that. How would you encourage a new international student to build rapport with their students? Because I know that in U.S. education, there is an expectation that students have that there will be some kind of relationship between them and their teacher, that there will be some kind of interaction. So how would you advise someone who has just not a good idea about how to go about that when they're dealing with a new culture, new level of students, maybe? What advice would you give them in that case?
I think the very important thing is, regardless of the culture you're from, people understand that whether you care or not. Show your students that I care about your learning. Make yourself accessible. So, you know, my office is always open. My email is always open. Send your question to me. I promise that I will get back to you, to your research, to your question, the email within 24 hours. And, you know, during your office hours, you open your door. And sometimes you approach your students and say that, did I make it clear for you in the class? If not, let me know, you know, then I'm willing to help. I think basically, if you show that you care about students' learning, then students will respond very positively, positively. Try to make a friend with them. Yeah. It depends on your personality.
Right.
Some people feel very comfortable with, hey, you know, become the buddy of their students. Some just feel that because of the cultural difference, I don't want to be so close.
I can't.
I can't, exactly. Yeah. But show students that you care about their learning, about their, you know, even their personal life would be good. You know, for example, if the students write you an email saying, I have a family emergency, I have to miss the class, right? And say, okay, I understand, right? But I'm here to help you to make up the class you just missed.
Okay.
You know, show this kind of attitude will win students' respect and love too.
Wow, that's really wonderful advice. Thank you so much for sitting down with us. I can think of material for several follow-up interviews, so maybe we would get the chance to sit down with you again.
All right.
But I appreciate your time very much.
No problem.
Thank you.
No problem.
We hope you enjoyed that interview with Dr. Lan. Remember to visit us at englishpodcastblog.wordpress.com. Thanks for listening.